This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
In the way they adjusted the rules, they took away the ability to get the guys flying towards the football, create some extra contact, and the guys and players safety. So we didn't get the turnover ratio, or the conversion ratio, I should say, for the kicking team we had in a decade prior. You know, when something goes from 20% average, Carl, to under 10, you don't need to knee-jerk it, you know what I mean, and then start monkeying around. I like the idea. Now, maybe some people would think this is gimmicky. Let me just roll this at you. Take a page out of rugby. Put the guys, you know, 5-10 yards apart, whatever you want to do. 5 yards apart and kick it down. You have your kickers got to get it in the air, but you can do it like they do in rugby where it goes right down the line like a jump ball, you know, if you want to give the kicking team a better fighting chance.
Yeah, and I think, you know, again, we talk about fairness and fair play, equal play. Do teams really have an advantage if you're going to create a rule like this? I'm glad they tabled it. It sounded interesting, but I don't like the idea overall right now, and I need to see how it might be tweaked. So more on that coming up with John McClain here in about 15 minutes. It is Dukes and Bell, brought to you and driven by Kia. For more info, visit KiaDealers.com. Of course, we are coming live to you from our mobile Kia studios on Radio.com. Now, if you're just joining us, last hour we mentioned this, but I think it's important to mention again because we've seen other states follow suit. You know, when Governor Kemp decided to have us open earlier than most states, a lot of other states joined in. And today, Texas Governor Greg Abbott has issued a revised order that will not only allow professional sports leagues to be allowed to resume play in June, but outdoor stadiums that will be allowed to host fans up to 25% of their capacity. So,
right.
Again, this is, you talk about, you know, moving the envelope or moving the needle, should I say. This is certainly moving the needle, as most teams, let's just take college for example, they've got voluntary workouts. I mean, the Pac-12 is like the 11th or 12th of June. You know, for Georgia, it's June 8th. We'll hear from Kirby coming up. But June is kind of that ease back into this thing. And here Texas is going, you know what? We're going to open this thing up for professional sports leagues to resume.
Yeah, I mean, as we said, we're just sticking with the facts, guys. You know, there's all sorts of fears about a second wave of COVID-19. There are some theories that the summer will help to lessen the amount of cases. Either way, we're gonna have some test cases, and people will react. The doctors and the medical folks will parse through the information, and hopefully we don't see spikes. Those that want to go will go. Those that don't, won't. But it will be 25% at least for open stadiums. Now, technically, Carl, that would mean Jerry World is not part of that because they have a roof. But either way, we'll see how it plays out and how they move forward with it. We're still, as you said, the governor told us we're going to crawl before we walk, okay? And, you know, we want to be mindful of all the people that are involved in all this. And people, as we said, it's their prerogative. But one thing for certain, there are people that do want to engage. There are people who, you know, sports, and again, we've talked about how you can't really have, Carl, the economy cratering and small businesses, sports teams, whatever, in the same boat. So I'm excited about this. We'll see how the rest of the country reacts to it.
Yeah, because Texas is the first state to say, we're open. We asked Governor Kemp this direct question the other day on our show. He said he's not willing to say Georgia is open yet, but he's willing to talk with the sports teams to see how they can get there. And I think that's important. It's Dukes and Bell. Let's talk dogs.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
It is brought to you by our friends at BrightBox.
BrightBoxElectrical.com for everything you need for your man cave. And again, guys, they're part of the Cool Ray family of businesses. Want you to know that they can do all the work the right way, safely for you and your family, and still get all the things you need. Because one thing for sure, you'd be watching a lot of TV this summer. Get that man cave you want to go to BrightBoxElectrical.com.
All right, let's start with Kirby Smart, who did address the media today. I want you to hear what he had to say, first of all, on trying to figure out if fans can attend games. And, Craig, this is the earlier cut we played. I want people to hear as much of Kirby as they possibly can. It's the first time we've heard from Coach since this pandemic really started. But are fans going to be able to attend games?
That's one of those decisions that I'm referring to the experts on. And what I found is everything we think that's going to happen can change based on what goes on from now till then. You know, our players coming back. Are there going to be any spikes? Is anything going to happen in July? We'll know a lot more about the season, people in the stands, which I know you're asking about, for September when that comes.
So, again, not willing to say yay or nay, and I don't blame him, Mike, but he also talked about he's not sure how many guys are actually going to be back on June 8th. Here's Kirby Smart.
They're all coming back on their own, you know what I mean? So it's not like they're going to be brought back in stages. We haven't identified an exact number of players that will come back. Because, again, that's voluntary.
And, again, the testing, as we heard from Greg McGarrity the other day in the interview with the morning show, that everyone's going to be tested who comes in the facility, and we'll see how they update that and what their protocols will be at Georgia. Will it be conference-wide? Will it be, you know, school by school, how they're going to do that? But, obviously, player safety is the first concern. And, yeah, man, Georgia has got a lot of expectations, and if you're missing information earlier, it was a report, and I tweeted out some of the information. Jake Roos from UGASports.com breaking the news earlier that USC pro-style quarterback Carl and five-star recruit from Mater Dei, the powerhouse in Southern California, wow, is seriously interested in coming to Athens. Now there's other multiple reports saying that he's already registered. Can't confirm that, but there are some reports out there on the interweb. But the big story, though, is if he's going somewhere, it sounds like it's going to be Georgia. So now, wow, you think about all the other quarterbacks, you got a good problem to have, Carl, kind of like what Nick Saban had a few years ago in Tuscaloosa.
Absolutely. And we know this now, though, right? You can never have enough talent. We thought Georgia was stacked for years to come. We'll be great. Transfer. Right. So, I mean, we've talked about it. I don't know what Jamie Newman's going to be. I think he's going to be really good for the Dogs based on his skill set, but you still have to continue to build down the road and for the future. And if this kid's coming, it is a big plus for the Dogs.
Yeah, it's a five-star. It's a pocket passer. It's not a dual threat. I mean, in the short term, obviously with Jamie Newman, you've got the dual threat, and we've got big recruits coming, and Georgia fans know all the names. But it is interesting. The guy has had some reps with the Trojans. Not sure what the transfer situation would be, but there are multiple reports coming out of California that it's UGA, but Jake Roos first had it for UGA Sports. It's what Kirby has to continue to do. He's doing it. We've talked about the great recruiting class. They locked up the number one corner they wanted. They locked up a four-star linebacker from Carrollton. So, I mean, it's everything is there now except for going to get the Natty, right? Go get the Natty.
Well, and that's we asked the governor that too, as well. Is it bust, playoffs or bust for the Dogs? So I think it
Carl,
is.
But wait, there's more. Seth Emerson now confirming from The Athletic that JT is coming to Georgia. JT Daniels coming to UGA.
All right, there it is, man. Let's hear from Kirby Smart talking about players coming back, and the first thing, one of the things that they'll be doing is their medical tests, Mike, because, you know, you think about, all right, how do you start this process? Here's Kirby.
I mean, they've got to have extensive physical. They've got to have COVID tests. They got to have a lot of things done prior to June 8th. So they've got to get back prior to June 8th. So you say, how will they be brought back? They'll come back on their own.
Okay. So that's, you know, he's laying out, this is how this is all going to play out. And, I think for most people who look at this and say, well, what happens with this or that? Kirby's laying this out, and this is the first time we've heard him talk about it for the Dogs. Last but not least, Kirby talking about these voluntary workouts, and what will they look like? What are they going to consist of?
They'll come back on their own. We'll have workout groups that are spaced out per the protocol that Ron and the committee came up with. They'll come in and do a really light workout initially because we want to bring them back slowly. They'll work out in smaller groups than traditionally before, probably 20 or so guys to a group. And of the 20 that come in, they'll be subdivided into groups of seven.
So that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, you know me in math. I'm not strong on that. But, you know, the idea is you're going to be doing – I was at a restaurant the other day, okay? I was at the gym again today at LA Fitness. So they're basically the same protocols that Georgia and the governor and opening things up are applying to. It sounds like that's what they're going to be, to a degree, using at UGA for the time being.
Okay. It is Dukes and Bell. It is our Dog Report, guys. We talk college football each and every day. As Kirby said, and I thought this was significant today when he said, we don't need to rush to make this decision because we feel financially obligated. Mike and I brought this up a little bit earlier. The Dogs have a huge reserve, guys. We're talking about millions of dollars that the program has been able to put away. And I don't want to say in case of a pandemic because nobody knew this was coming, but in case of, you know, multi things, many things that play out. And a lot of the Power Five schools have a reserve. But once you get past that, most schools don't. And Mike, you've mentioned this. Schools are cutting programs and trying to cut back. And I said, I just don't buy into, I don't think Kirby is necessarily not telling the truth. Absolutely, he's right. Kid safety should come first. You shouldn't be rushing back just to think that we're going to be financially ruined if we don't. But the reality is you're not going to leave $4 billion on the table either. And that's not a Kirby statement. That's a college football statement. And I think that Kirby's saying this because, Mike, at the end of the day, the big schools, the SECs, the Pac-12s, the Big Tens, all those schools have reserves. But the other, you know, lesser schools, the Division IIs or the, you know, not the FBS schools, they don't have that luxury. And I think that's another part of this. If you really want to see college football change dramatically, that's what would happen. And so Georgia's in a different place financially than a lot of other places.
And Dennis Dodd's article, guys, in CBSSports.com, Carl and I started the show talking about it. NCAA, really, let's be honest, has done itself no favors with the really weak enforcement of the rules after they were so over-the-top and draconian for years. You know, let's be honest, they're out of the picture. Congress may come up with the rules for how guys get paid, and not even the NCAA. So Dennis Dodd was saying in the article, it's got more chance now than ever, and the COVID-19 has kind of crystallized it, that you're going to see the Power Five create their own sanctioning body and governing body because they don't need the NCAA and they don't need the NCAA taking $1 billion off the top of March Madness. They'll run their own. So, I mean, for years, you and I have talked about it, and you and I have both said they might as well just do it because the NCAA is more of a hindrance than a help. So, you know, you're getting middled. Like, it's like a deal. You got a guy in the middle who's taking a piece of the action. So, if you had a chance, it's a long article, but Dennis Dodd breaks down how now is the time, and now more than ever, the NCAA, nobody believes in them, court of public opinion. Amateur athletics has already gone out the window, and that's what they were hanging on to so desperately. We always knew, Carl, that was a facade.
The Power Five, ACC, Big Ten, Big 12, Pac-12, SEC, control the money, they control the sponsors, and they control the games. Why do you need the NCAA?
Right. NCAA is not even part of the college football playoff, guys. We told you. The one thing they do have, their cash cow, the billion that they make, comes
March
from
Madness.
March Madness.
March Madness.
But you could basically take that and take the smaller schools. You know what? If they want to have the little school conference, you go knock yourself out. Meanwhile, speaking, Carl, it's our Dog Report with some college football in the mix, a report that came out yesterday saying that because the landscape of college football that we just laid out is changing so drastically, what about Conference USA and the Sun Belt finding a way to merge, and some guys might be left on the side or come up with a super conference because they're going to be able to do that to save some money.
Well, I think you're going to see that, Mike, depending on how financially strapped some of these schools are. The last time we saw conference realignment, you know, Missouri and Texas A&M came to the SEC and people said, what the hell is going on? It's not been a bad add to the conference. In fact, I think it's enhanced the footprint of the SEC. But when you start talking about realignment, two things happen. One, money, because schools are looking to create more revenue. And two, schools are losing money. So how do we team up to become a bigger and better and more attractive conference? I don't think there's any doubt that based on the financial devastation of COVID and what happens here, you're going to see some conferences mix and mingle together.
And by the way, you know, Georgia State, we talked about their big win over Tennessee. I mean, if you want to talk about helping to put fannies in the seats at what you know, is now the Georgia State Stadium, the old Turner Field, bringing in the level. I mean, again, it's still Conference USA, but they'd be bigger schools. I mean, that's a nice way to have a footprint. And part of the reason that, you know, Georgia State, why did they do what they did? We're getting ahead of ourselves, but that would be a heck of a fit. That would certainly be one school that would be sexy for the Conference USA.
Yeah, and they've got something going, too. I am curious to see if that happens, Mike, and maybe it's for the better. You know, some of the realignment was a joke. And then you had the survival aspect, too. You had schools, for example, that had great basketball programs but not great football programs that came from great basketball conferences – that then found themselves on the outs, like trying to find a home. And that may be the case here, too. Hey coming man, up, John.
I'm just going to reset just for guys who tuned in. I got a bunch of Georgia fans that are really excited about this. Anyway, JT Daniels, five-star quarterback, former USC Trojan, coming to Georgia. Seth Emerson from The Athletic now reporting what Jake Roos first broke from UGA Sports. There you go.
All right, I got more on that coming up. By the way, I got some inside info. I'll reserve for later. Hey, John McClain's going to join us. We'll talk NFL with him and get his thoughts on where the league is, the owners, hiring, everything. It is Dukes and Bell, guys. Before we get to Mr. McClain, good friend of the show, we do want to mention this being reported by WSB's Zach Klein and Mike. As we were talking about the state of Texas and the governor there, now we have news here in Georgia.
Yeah, June 1st, the governor just announced, and Zach had it, that we are going to be allowing teams in amateur and pro sports to get back to practicing. Now, they're going to have to follow, obviously, the protocols, but it is a step. As you said, the governor of Texas, Governor Abbott, taking the first leap. I think after the governor opened up Georgia only to have the president cut him off at the knees, he was maybe let someone else take this leap first. But Governor Kemp going to let sports get rolling again starting June 1st here in Georgia.
All right, so Hawks, Braves, Falcons is what we're talking about. Practices and other in-person operations must operate by the rules and guidelines of their respective sports leagues. That news just coming down. We said it, as we said earlier on the program, Texas does this first. Other states are going to follow, and not far behind, here is Georgia. With that, we welcome in John McClain, longtime NFL writer here on the program. And, John, it's good to have you on. First of all, I hope you're healthy and doing well, because I know it's been crazy, but are you surprised that Greg Abbott made this decision to move forward with what he's done today?
I got to tell you guys, I'll be really honest. I pay no attention to what politicians do or say because everything they do is self-serving. I prefer to listen to the medical experts because, of course, none of them, including Greg Abbott, are. Everything's politically motivated. But just it's like you said, Carl, just because the governor says you can do it doesn't mean the leagues are going to let them do it. And there's so many things that have to be worked out. It's easy to say you can go, but who's going to do what the experts say necessary? What I'm worried about is they're just going to bypass what the experts say and do what they want to do. But I don't expect here, like right now, the Astros have a few players at different times of the day at Minute Maid Park and a few players at different times of the day at their facility in West Palm Beach. And so they're trying to get everybody together. Of course, the NFL is not under time restraints like the other sports are. So I know people are making a big deal about it. Greg Abbott's loving it, but I can't wait to see what the reaction is from the people at the Houston Medical Center who know what they're talking about.
It is John McClain with us, guys, longtime NFL reporter and just all-around good guy from the Houston Chronicle. Joins Dukes and Bell on a regular basis. John, we had a conversation last hour about J.J. Watt and deciding to forego starting a conversation about a new contract. Is this at face value a guy literally saying, I didn't earn the money the last 2 years, so I'm not going to talk about money now? Tell us what's going on there.
That's basically what he said when he was asked. Now, I don't rule out a restructure in which they lower the cap by giving him some money and turning base salary into signing bonus. He's done that before, but the question put to him was an extension. So, no, he's not going to get an extension with more money. He's not going to ask for one. He missed the second half of last season with a torn pectoral muscle. He made a miraculous comeback, was able to play two playoff games, had a sack to ignite a come-from-behind victory over Buffalo in a wild-card round. But, you know, you don't hear many players say what Watt said yesterday. He's not going to be asking for more money. That's one of the reasons DeAndre Hopkins was traded, because he had 3 years left on his contract, and he wanted to raise once Julio Jones signed that extension, I knew Hopkins was out of here, because I knew he was going to try to get in Jones' neighborhood, which would have required an $8 to $10 million a year raise, and I knew they weren't going to do it with 3 years left.
John, what do you think about these quirky things that the owners voted on today? Now, they did table this 4th and 15 onside kick alternative. First of all, does this make sense to you, and are you glad that they tabled it? Because some of the things that, you know, the competition committee looks at, you go, all right, that makes sense. I don't know if this one did, and I think they did the right thing by tabling it. What about you?
Quirky is a great way to put it. It's a gimmick. And if the NFL is considering a gimmick, and you're talking about traditionalists, they don't put it on the table and 2 months later vote for it. like the one that they're going to try in preseason with a booth official. Mm-hmm. And the NFL is really worried. They don't have enough, 17 of them, enough to go around. And there's a lot of things to be worked out about putting an eye in the sky, because I think if anybody, including us, we're up there with a big flat screen, high definition, and we're watching a play, we might find five or six violations. And do we call the referee and say, hey, call holding on that guy, call pass interference on this guy? That's the old catchphrase, unintended consequences. And so how much of an authority is that guy going to be able to do? He's supposed to just be used like that was last year for blatant violations, but we saw so many blatant violations of interference that they didn't call, and it cost coaches timeouts because they threw flags legitimately, and they wouldn't call it. So the booth umpire, they'll try it in preseason and see if it works. The eye in the sky, coaches wanted it last year. They voted unanimously for it, but it doesn't matter what they vote for. It's what the owners think, and the owners shot it down. Now they're going to consider it. So it wouldn't surprise me if this time next year they didn't say, okay, we'll try that in preseason, or we'll vote it in on a one-year basis. But it is very radical when you think about the NFL. They've got all these stats, and Rich McKay would know this because he's out of the competition committee. It shows how many injuries there are on onside kicks. And, you know, I don't know what percentage succeeded every year, but it did give a team a chance. And right now they have no chance whatsoever on an onside kick, but I do believe they will do something, just not this season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we talked about I'm not a statistician by any stretch, John, but the numbers were about 20% for a decade, and then after they tweaked the rules, it went down to almost single digits. But is it? I mean, do you need that? Can't you just, I don't know, put them 5 yards apart, let them jump ball it?
That makes as much sense as the one they tabled, because I believe they will come up with some rule, and one of the rules they don't want to do, they don't want to say, oh, boy, that was in the XFL, that was in the AAF. They want to come up with their own, and I think they will, just not in time for this season. So if you got to try an onside kick, it's going to be almost a waste of time.
It is John McClain, guys, longtime NFL writer, covers the league, and is the beat guy for the Houston Texans as well. And we wanted to pick his brain on a variety of things. One of the things that Mike and I have been talking about during this pandemic is, obviously, you know, when you look at the league itself and how you get back, John McClain, right now, with everybody you know and what you know, are we starting this league with no fans in the stands? Because everybody's saying they expect to have fans in the stands in September.
Well, they're saying they expect to, but then they also will point out they'll let the experts tell them what to do. And experts are not the politicians, it's the medical people. And what is going to be different in September than right now? You know, what is going to be different if they're telling the fans, say they allowed 25% of the stadium to be full, and yet you're going to let the players ignore social distancing? The thing I have not seen any experts say, tell me how players can bleed on each other, spit on each other, get sweat on each other, snot on each other. How can they do that? How can they be in piles? How can they be next to each other on benches in position meetings? How can they do that, but yet you believe fans should social distance? It doesn't seem fair to me, and you're running a lot of risk with players and their lives. And I'll tell you something else. It's not a big deal for us, but it's going to cause hand-wringing. I know the German Soccer League, somebody talked to a reporter over there, and he said ordinarily he has 60 reporters cover a game, and now it's 10. And there was a lot of problems about who got to be among the 10. You know, how do they do that? You know, the press boxes. Houston, you can social distance. Atlanta, you can social distance. But some of those, you cannot social distance because they're too small. And then if you're going to have, like, the Houston Chronicle has 8 at home, or the Journal Constitution has 8 at home, they're not going to give you 8 when you're having to social distance. And plus, are we going to be able to interview people? Are we going to go to a game and then stay on our computer and interview Dan Quinn on Zoom and Matt Ryan on Zoom? If that's the case, why even go to the game? So there's so many things that have to be worked out. I would be shocked under our current climate, reading everything that the experts say, not the politicians. How in the world are you going to have a full football stadium or any stadium, even in September? Until they get a vaccine, what is going to be different?
And the other thing also, you know, that's the other thing, John, we talked, not to put your business out there, but we're no spring chickens, but, you know, older coaches, we talked about it with Dave O'Brien earlier from the AJC, you know, baseball managers are in their 50s and 60s. You know, that
Dusty
was another
Baker's
concern.
In his 70s.
Right.
They're pitching, Brent Strom's in his 70s, and both of them, Dusty's been home in L.A. Brent Strom, I think, is in Tucson. They've been doing the virtual meetings with their players, and we just had a big story this weekend about them and their age. And, you know, there's a lot of athletes that have pre-existing conditions that they say makes them more susceptible. And I think it was 12 baseball players, prominent baseball players, who have things that put them in position to more susceptible to getting COVID-19. What are they going to do about it? What do they do to guarantee that those players will not get it and take it home and spread it to their family or their parents or their grandparents? There was an interview on MLB Radio yesterday. I can't remember who the guy was, but he's an expert. He's written a lot about this. And he said, he pointed out, he said, you can have COVID-19 and not know it. And you can test positive, but the test might be positive 3 days after they said you were positive, and then you can spread it 3 days after that. And the only way that you can keep up it is test everybody every day. Now, that's certainly not realistic. In college sports, you couldn't, pro sports, because they got the money. But one of the things they told us, and I know you guys heard this, like DeMar Smith, the head of the union, said, we're not going to do it and get special treatment when it comes to tests until the public can get tests anytime they want. I kind of think that's going to go by the wayside.
Yeah, I do too. I agree. It's John McClain. One last thing. Really appreciate you coming on, John. Jadeveon Clowney, what is he thinking? Continuing to turn deals down, or at least offers that we've heard about. Is he overvalued himself to think that he's a $25 million guy when he's not getting those kinds of offers?
He wanted that kind of money last year with the Texans, and they already had 100 million defensive linemen, and they weren't going to do another one. They offered him a deal that would max out at 90. He turned it down, and so they traded him. And then he did. He got hurt. He didn't play a full season. He had 3 sacks, had one great game on national TV, and we've seen him do that. He's very inconsistent. So Clowney had surgery. People want to examine him. I would not give him a lot of money till my doctors could give him physicals. He's here working out in Houston, and I know several teams have inquired. Seattle has a 1-year deal on the table for him. Titans are interested. And Adam Schefter had that story about the Browns offering the most money, but he didn't have any figures. And so, and he said he turned it down. The Texans tried to include him in a trade for Jadeveon Clowney, for Laremy Tunsil, and he refused to sign his tender so he couldn't be traded to Miami because he didn't want to play for Brian Flores, who had been with Bill Belichick. So I don't know why he didn't want to go to Cleveland, because coming off that injury and his health issues, there's no way he's going to get $100 million. So he should probably go back to Seattle for 1 year, hope he stays healthy, play on a good defensive line for coaches that know him, and then try to cash in for a third consecutive year.
Hey, John, we got to catch a break. Just real quick, how unhappy is Deshaun Watson with this offseason, losing a guy like DeAndre Hopkins?
Oh, he got Brandon Cooks, he got Randall Cobb, he got David Johnson. He was mad like everybody else when he was traded, but it's just the price of doing business. He's loaded. He's got all of his offensive line back. He is very happy, and he's going to sign an extension at some point for $40 million a year.
Cool.
John, thanks so much. Be safe.
Stay safe.
You too, brother.
Best in the business, man. Always gives some great stuff. And when we're talking, we get excited, Carl, getting some good news potentially. Then John puts it back in perspective about all the issues that crop up trying to get back to sports.
All right, man. Coming up, Mike, I just got some great inside information about JT Daniels, who's transferring to Georgia. I'm going to tell you guys about that. But next, we got Yeah Man, No Man with Bo Morgan on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's time for Yeah Man, No Man.
Kind of makes me wonder why the hell so many people are trying to tell me to slow down. Seems like I should be shutting the hell up and enjoying the show.
He's 6'1".
Not really.
From Florida.
Kennesaw State.
And gives rapid-fire questions. It's the executive producer of the Dukes and Bell Show, Bo Morgan. Brought to you by the Aviation Institute of Maintenance. Visit FixJets.com to learn more.
Coming up, we got the Falcon Report. Less than 10 minutes from now, we'll talk more about the Big Three. But right now, it's Bo Morgan with Yeah Man, No Man. What's going on today, Bo?
Not much, guys. Another day, another Splash and Dash Facebook Live show, and I'm kind of on along the lines of Mike here. Twitter is a cesspool, and I think I might be a better person if I get off of it.
Now, what happened to you? Did something go down that I missed with you today?
It's going down right now. You know, it's the same thing that everybody else deals with, the announcement that there'll be fans at 25% capacity. Look, everybody's read a different article. I'm not an expert on anything, but some of the articles you read says that, you know, outdoors and for whatever reason, this is not doesn't really carry outdoors. And then people start arguing about, well, players will get it and this, and then you dispel that, and then they come, you know, there's just, it's just makes your head explode. I can't believe I threw a mic.
You're not going to convince somebody. And how many characters is Twitter now? Whatever it is, it's not enough. You can't convince, yeah, whatever it is. Even in 580, you wouldn't be able to get it done. So, look, I'm with Squid. That's why sometimes, and I do this now on almost like a quarterly basis, I'll take a time out. Because as we said, and I agree with almost everything that John McClain said there, Carl, about politicians. You know, just because someone says we're going to do something, now we got to put it into work. Sure. But I would also argue that from the CDC to so-called medical experts, those guys aren't pitching a shutout either with this. You know, and the goalposts keep moving. So I'm just like, look, you take the information in, and if you feel you want to stay in your house until Christmas, do so. But some of us are going to take the risk. You know, first off, Carl, do the math. See if that risk is acceptable. If you fall into an area that puts you at high risk, then you don't go. You know, but I mean, I cannot, I'm over the doom and gloom. I cannot listen to it, and I won't. You know, and if you want to unfollow me, unfollow me. I mean, it's a free country. Back to you, Squid. Well, Squid got me fired up, Carl.
I was going to say, I'm sitting here chilling. Both of you guys are like, oh, I hate Twitter. I hate Facebook. I hate all these damn social media. Both of you guys are going in. I'm sitting here like.
Well, look, but everyone knows Mike nor myself is ever going to get off of these things. Not for a long term, anyways. The thing I'll say, and I think Mike touched on it, and I'll say it a little less angry because I got Mike fired up because I started fired up. if you want to be negative, don't be negative in your little shanty. Like, don't be negative everywhere. People, we need positive in this world. There's so much negativity everywhere we turn. Is it so hard to be positive? And if someone says something you don't like, just walk away. And I'll do the same. But we can, you know, we're better as a positive society. So please, let's just be positive and kind to each other.
Good answer. There you go. With the kindness part we really need right now.
Yeah, you guys are setting the example there. All right, Bo. What else is going on?
Well, when you think of kindness and positivity, you always think of Lance Armstrong, right?
Yeah,
I know. Well, you know, he did The Last Dance, and they now have aired one episode of Lance, which is another 30 for 30. And Lance Armstrong, for the first time that I remember, really opened up about why what he did with lying about doping was so bad.
Nobody dopes and is honest. You're not. The only way you can dope and be honest is if nobody ever asks you, which is not realistic. The second somebody asks you, you lie. Now, it might be one lie because you answer it once, or in my case, it might be 10,000 lies because you answer it 10,000 times. And then you take it a step further and you reinforce it, and hey, you don't ever ask me that question again, right? And then you go sue somebody, that's another, and then it just, so that's why it was 100 times worse because we all lied.
Yeah, and then you become a pathological liar. That's the part about it. As he kind of alluded to, Carl, you tell that lie and people start to believe it and you tell it over and over again. It becomes gospel. But the thing about Lance Armstrong is he raised millions and hundreds of millions of dollars for cancer research, and you got to appreciate that, but under the guise of a lie. And then when people, Carl, you've seen the other documentary that's come out before this, what he did as far as character assassination to friends, riders on the tour, people around his team, that's unconscionable. That's why I when I saw this, I'm like, well, there's a documentary I won't be watching because Lance Armstrong to me is a piece of garbage.
I have not watched this. You know, the Michael Jordan documentary was fascinating in so many ways, and everybody, for the most part, was geeked about it. I've not watched this, and I don't know if I will watch it. I'm not reserving judgment on Lance. Certainly,
but I mean, Carl, what do you think?
I don't think he's a piece of garbage.
If a friend of that did that to you, my God, we put a contract out on him. The stuff he paid.
Well, here's the thing. It does, and I think this is part of. I'm assuming this will come out. Bo, I don't know if you're watching it either. It's Yeah Man, No Man with Dukes and Bell. Did the good he did in helping people and raising money, is that better or does that overshadow the negative?
The fraud.
And I would be willing to tell you from the people that he helped, and I wasn't one of them, but I certainly respected all of that because, again, he didn't have to do the things he did. But I'd be willing to say that they would tell you that overshadows, yes, the fraud. You can't take the fraud away. You can't take the lying away. Or any of the things that he's owning now, or the cheating for that matter. But I think that is how I look at Lance Armstrong. And it's with mixed emotions, Mike. You know, it is because you thought at one point this guy was on top of the world with the way he was owning his sport, winning all of those Tour de France's. We didn't know what was going on behind the scenes, you know, the battle with cancer, how he was helping others. And then this comes down and you go, whoa. And it changed your opinion and it rightfully should have. But I just don't know if all of that good goes washed out of the window because he cheated and he lied about how things were going on.
Well, you know, I think after The Last Dance, some people feel differently about Michael Jordan. Some people feel the same, just magnified. So, and I know you guys haven't watched it, but after this Lance is over, Yeah Man, No Man, this could lead to a better, like a rehabilitated characterization of Lance Armstrong.
Well, I do think that, like, we forgive everybody because that's most of us. Most of us, you know, have the capacity for forgiveness, and you just got to own it. I don't know if he's necessarily owning this. He's rationalizing his pathological lying. That's what that soundbite sounded like to me.
Yeah, and that's part of the problem. I mean, again, it's one thing to say, yeah, I shouldn't have done this, but if you shouldn't have done it, then that's it. There is no yeah, buts, ands, but I could have. There's none of that extra stuff. So I don't know if it's going to change people's opinion. We said this about Michael Jordan. You know, whether you love him or hate him, I think the same applies for Lance. And to Mike's point, whether you think, you know what, I can't accept what he did, even though he did good, and no matter what he says in this documentary, he's not going to change my opinion, then you're already on that side. It doesn't matter what happens in the next two or three episodes. I don't even know how many they have in this thing.
Yeah, I just thought it was interesting. By the way, real quick, I know we got to get out of here, but we've been seeing all the Mike Tyson stuff. We talked about Mike Tyson yesterday, the whole fight thing. Well, was it all a hoax? Because last night he went on Tony Schiavone's show, the AEW Wrestling, and this whole mess happened.
Apologize to me right now. Okay, you look great. Apologize to me before I knock your damn teeth down your throat. You understand me?
Don't hold your breath, LeChampion.
Oh, Jared, oh, no. Slugging Tyson. Tyson trying to look at right handle Belfort by Jericho. And my God, all hell is breaking loose. All hell is breaking loose here. The locker room is empty to restrain Chris Jericho and Iron Mike Tyson.
The funniest part about this, Bo, is I saw the video, and Mike's trying to tear his shirt off, and he got to that point where he couldn't rip it off, so he's, like, taking it off a little bit, and he's flexing. But anyway, listen, great drama, great entertainment, man.
Somebody's got to tell Mike he's got to cut the top part of the collar and the bottom part, because those are the hardest parts to rip.
Yeah, Hulk Hogan and Macho Man Randy Savage, Carl, you had those shirts pre-cut, so you're good to go. Yeah, you got to have it ready.
Tyson went out with Henry Cejudo, who's just retired from UFC. Vito Belfort was there. Rashard Evans was there in Tyson's posse. So, Yeah Man, No Man, this was the whole thing Tyson was doing, and there will be no charity fight.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, if that was the goal, he looked great. God bless him. Like, we all need to lose some LBs, especially. Look, and speaking of a guy who, whatever you didn't like or didn't like, I love Mike Tyson. He's one of the greatest interviews of all time. And, you know, everyone's fascinated by him. No problem, champ. But if he did come back, people would watch because there's always a fascination because, you know, he is the show. I mean, that's it. So, yeah, good for him, though. Whatever he's doing, I hope he got paid for that shenanigans.
Oh, no doubt. Well, here's why we love Mike Tyson and the reason why you would watch. No, there won't be a charity fight or anything, no exhibition. But Mike had an element of crazy. Right. And because of that, you didn't know what was going to happen. Is he going to bite Evander Holyfield? He just bit Evander Holyfield here. You didn't know what was going to happen. So that when you have an element of crazy, you become interesting, and people will pay attention.
All right, guys. As always, we're brought to you by the Aviation Institute of Maintenance. Visit sixjet.com to learn more. Craig, we got to go. Hit my music.
Lots going on, Mike Bell.
I like how Squid does that, like in his house. He actually drops the mic and he walks away.
The governor speaks. He came on our show earlier this week, hadn't made a decision. Today, it looks like things have changed. We'll fill you in on that. As Texas made the decision first, and I think other states will follow. What are we talking about? Stay right there. Falcon Reports next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.